Welcome back to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Lou Anne Crane, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson.
And Ryan, yesterday we had the privilege, and I do mean privilege, of introducing listeners to two wonderful friends of the Crane family, Steve and Liz Holt, who just happened to be my pastor and his wife.
Mm-hmm. They are amazing people. Mm-hmm. And we had a wonderful conversation with them yesterday on how couples can have a God-wild marriage. And we'll talk about what that means in a moment. Steve is the founder and lead pastor at Mountain Springs Church here in Colorado Springs. And he also has his own radio program called Word and Spirit, which is heard daily throughout Colorado.
Pastor Steve and his wife, Liz, have been married for 26 years, and they have seven pretty fabulous children mm-hmm. who range in age from 25 down to 7. And just last year, Pastor Steve wrote his first book titled The God-Wild Marriage.
Well, we want to quickly remind our listeners that if you missed yesterday's program, you can catch up on it at drjamesdobson.org. I'm excited to jump into our discussion with them today. So without further ado, here now is our host, Dr. James Dobson, with Pastor Steve and Liz Holt.
Steve, the title of your book is The God-Wild Marriage, A Roadmap to a Dangerously Fulfilling Love Life. And your chapter titles are really very interesting. Chapter one, in fact, says the power to be out of control. When I think of somebody out of control, I don't think of it in positive terms. What
right.
do you mean here?
Well, that is verse 18 of Ephesians 5, where it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. And so the Ephesians for which Paul's writing this letter were people steeped in the temple of Artemis. And the temple of Artemis is where they came and drank intoxicating drinks for hallucinations and dreams and visions to commune, quote unquote, with the gods. So Paul is taking a group of people that have come out of an out of control environment, and he's saying, I want you to be empowered and out of control with God's Spirit, who will give a new set of control. So he's the one who made the contrast between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. My challenge to couples is, will you be out of control enough to let God be in control? Mm. And that means you're going to have to release, in some ways, your hands off the reins of your marriage and let God and invite Jesus in there, because what he wants to do may not be what you had planned to do, because he's got a new agenda.
And the problem with Ephesians 5, though, Doctor, is, speaking as one of the women at the table, is that awful S word called submission is buried within there and is such a hang-up for so many mm-hmm. people. I mean, let's just say it. I just want to dive right into it. When people think of Ephesians 5, they think it's wonderful and children obey your parents and all of that. But women get stuck on that S word, don't they?
Yes. You know, we tolerate submission in so many places, in companies and schools and, you know, lots of institutions. But we have a really hard time tolerating it in our own homes. We don't like that feeling. But really, everything that works has an order to it, has a design. And we look at submission as not an equality issue, but more of a role mm-hmm. issue. And
well, what does it mean for the two of you?
Well, yeah, because Liz, you know, you said we have a hard time with that word. We have a hard time with that feeling. But I think what you mean is we have a hard time with what people have said about
yes.
submission.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not really what it is and how it plays out. I mean, you guys clearly love each other. You've got a great relationship. I don't think you feel ruled with an iron fist. He's not saying, you do what I do, tell you to do, because I'm a man.
And neither is she a wallflower.
Yeah.
Can I just say that?
No,
so you have that in your marriage, but it means something very, very different than right. that knee-jerk, you know, that reaction
that's
we give
right.
it.
Good point.
You know, I just want to take me back and all of us back to when I was starting to date Steve and we were thinking about a relationship together, and God spoke to me in my heart. He said, I want you to have a man who will treat you like a queen, not because you deserve it, but because I love you. And that's what God spoke mm-hmm. to me in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I could recognize that this was the man I was supposed to marry through those words. And
did he get that?
Yes, I remind him often. Remember what God said?
Yeah, you did. That's good.
But I've always felt that kind of treatment toward mm-hmm. myself. Pretty much.
Absolutely.
But I think it's easy for me to let him be the leader. And I'm always learning because I like to take control. And not that I don't have a say. Steve always lets me give my opinion. He listens well. And I do see that timing is an issue on sharing my opinion and tone of voice. But I am so blessed to be with someone who will take me with all my flaws, all my weaknesses, and will go the distance with me and build something together. Mm-hmm. And we work. It is a company. If you look at your family as a little company, it is. And I just feel like if the husband and wife are doing their roles, everybody is blessed because we're operating in the design that God has thought up.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that that word submission truly can be pulled apart to mean under this mission, like
yes.
sub the mission?
Yes.
So really a primary key is for the head of the home, so in your case, Pastor Steve here, to lay out what that mission is and what it should look like for our family, then you can come in under it.
Right.
I think all of us who have godly husbands would say, no problem, I can do that. The women who probably have trouble with that are the ones who say, I don't know what I'm following. I don't know what our mission is. I don't know where he's going. And I can't follow that.
That's exactly right. I think the key here is verse 21 before we jump to verse 22. And verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we've got this phrase, for Christ, and there's a mutual submission. But then verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then we have as to the Lord and in Christ five times in Ephesians 5. So the key here is the husband being in Christ, right? So it's interesting. There's three verses to the woman and there's nine verses to the man in our passage. So we've always heard, especially in our culture today, that men are slower than women. And if we look at almost every commercial on TV, you certainly would get that indication. Well, maybe God thinks so too. The reality is there's three challenges. There's three verses of challenge to a woman, but there are nine verses of challenge to the man, three times more. And I think you cannot divorce submission or the S word with that passage that then leads to the man. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her. So you can't divorce the two.
You have the S word, but the love
that's exactly
word
right.
goes
well,
with it.
And Ryan, it's key. And you know, the reality, you guys, and Lou Ann, you know this, you have a godly husband, is that if you have a man that will dive in, I call it, you know, enter and die. If a man's not willing to enter his wife's world and die there, like Christ did, because he tells us, he commands us right here, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
What's that mean in modern terms?
I think what it means is that a man has to have an emotional and spiritual passport in his thinking that he's actually entering new domain. And if that man who really wants to lead and love and guide and strengthen and have an alive type of marriage, he's got to be willing to enter his wife's world, study her, know her, understand where she's coming from as not only the gender that she's been given, but also who she is. And if he will enter that world and understand her and love her there, not try to change her, but love her where she's at, there's a real chance of a God-wild marriage.
I have a lot of friends that, going back to what we were talking about, who don't have husbands that will lead and don't know, and maybe don't even have much of a spiritual foundation themselves. And the ones that I've seen that are thriving are the ones that apply this verse in Isaiah 54:5. For your maker is your husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the Lord God of the whole earth. And they're letting God be their husband, maybe in places where their earthly husband can't be what they're desiring. And I think God will be as big as our need. And bringing our needs to God and letting him fill those places that are empty and not fulfilled and maybe will not be fulfilled on the earth.
Sure.
And I've seen those women thrive that really are going to God and saying, I'm going to stick with this man, and I'm going to ask you, Lord, to be bigger for my needs than maybe, you know, their friend who has a great marriage. And they get to know God in a richer way that some people who have a great husband may not get to know.
Well, Steve, you addressed this in the chapter Hammer and Chisel.
Yep.
That was one of the most profound chapters to me. In fact, I even blogged about it because it just epitomized the purpose of marriage. And I think you even quote Gary Thomas, who kind of muses, what if the purpose of marriage is not to make me happy as much as it is to make me holy?
Yeah.
And right there, that is a paradigm shift for me because it should be, and we hope it is fulfilling and satisfying, as we indicated last time. But for many, Liz, you just cited them, it's an unhappy place, and it's hard, and it's tough, and it's no fun, and it's exactly opposite of everything we're describing right here. And your point is, God is using that circumstance, that scenario, to carve you into what He wants you to be if you will let Him.
I keep going back to Ephesians 5 because I think it's so appropriate to our 21st century lives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, that He might sanctify her, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So that's why I quoted Gary Thomas on that, is because he's exactly right that the goal is the cross, and the cross is holiness. And in the midst of that, He has given us this almost like a spiritual enemy. In a way, our spouses are our enemies at times, because God's chiseling in us through that challenge that they bring to us, that we in our selfish ways would never go there if we weren't married. So marriage is a part of God's chiseling us out into the sanctified life to be more Christ-like. And when we can view our spouse that way, I think it changes our perspective. She's transforming me versus everything being happy all the time.
Dr. Dobson, you mentioned a couple of the chapter titles that Pastor Holt has. And I do recall when the book came out, from the pulpit, he would speak to the congregation and say, now, guys, you cannot jump straight to chapter 6. You have to start at chapter 1. And why would they do that,
Steve? Well, I think that it's so in our mindset, in culture today, everything's sex-saturated. And we as men are so geared visually toward that. And that's why pornography and certain movies and certain videos are so popular. The fastest growing industry in the world today on the internet is pornography.
It's destroying families, too.
It is. Yeah, image sex.
You didn't tell them the title of that sixth chapter.
Okay. This chapter six title is Wild Sex and Glory. And the reason I call it that is because I think that sex, in the way God meant it to be, may be one of the closest things we come to of ecstasy in this life that draws us toward what it will be like in the kingdom of heaven. And so I see it as glory. And three people are always involved in the sex act of a Jesus-following couple, and that's the husband, the wife, and the Lord. The Lord's involved in sex, and He created it, and He's the one who came up with it, and He could have made it as simple as just cooking a meal, but He made it joyful. He made it exciting, and I think the Spirit-filled couple, if we'll strive after Jesus and seek the kingdom, it should not always, but fairly regularly be a beautiful, exciting, wild, joyful time together.
And so often now it's perverted.
That's right.
You mentioned pornography. I served on the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography. And when that's involved, it's a perversion of something so beautiful. And many couples, I think, believe they can spice up their sex life by this artificial means, mm-hmm. but it's dangerous.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you're really playing with fire.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I call it sex defiled. And so it's called in some circles image sex. And that image sex where there's this perversion by which we are masturbating, as it were, on airbrushed pictures and airbrushed models that then makes us actually anemic to the real thing with a real individual is so dangerous and most of the time ruins a marriage.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a – and I think where it leads to is an intimacy anorexic where we've replaced intimacy with an image. And in so doing, it actually causes us to starve out the real relationship with someone in a beautiful way because we've replaced it with this false intimacy. And this is a real addiction. This is a real problem today.
Mm-hmm. And listening to you all talk about your family life and about your kids and about your love for the Lord, our listeners could get the idea that you're kind of the perfect family. And wow. I say that tongue in cheek because there
yes.
are none, certainly
right.
not
Absolutely.
Shirley and me. But what has married life been for the two of you? Have you had some struggles? In fact, you implied that you have. Mm. Tell us about them.
Well, I think that it's been a journey to learn how to respect my husband, and I haven't always done it perfectly. And I remember this one time that was really challenging for him was we were at this a bunch of families were together, and we were sitting around, and right in front of me was this cherry pie. And I don't know what got into me, but I thought, I've never thrown a pie before in someone's face. And there's my husband sitting right there. I think he'll think it may be funny, maybe. So I picked it up, and before
you
I knew
didn't.
It, I threw
didn't.
It in his face. And I've never done
you,
it. I've never done it again.
Did you think that was funny?
Well, it just, it was impulsive. And
Steve,
sometimes,
did you think it was funny?
No, it's really embarrassing. I felt
yes.
really embarrassed.
And it was an impulse, like not very well thought through.
Yeah. Well, men value dignity and respect.
Yeah.
And
yes.
anything that implies something other than that is bound to bring a response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the beginning of conflict.
Telling all, though, Steve, wow. I mean, she fessed up here on national radio. You haven't always shown love
That's right.
in the way that she feels it. And
That's
you do
right.
tell this classic story, forgive me, but every woman mm-hmm. out here can relate to this
yeah,
at Christmas
time.
I'm just
such an idiot in so many ways. And here we have been married for over probably 10 or 15 years when this happened. But she had told me what she wanted for Christmas, and it was a particular perfume, and I had completely forgotten. And next thing I know, we're up on Christmas. I mean, it's like Christmas Eve or something, and I haven't done anything. So I knew she liked this particular magazine, and I saw it in the house, and I assumed that Anna, my oldest, had bought it. So I grabbed it and put it in the stocking. I thought a back scratcher would certainly be one of the things that most women are just dying to have. And a candle, of course, that didn't match anything. And so I totally hurt her feelings. It was very unloving, and it was really stupid on my part. But that's what I did, and I'm not proud of it.
Why was it unloving, Liz?
Well, it showed that he didn't think at all about what he was going to get me. And so I had thought a lot about my gifts that year. And so, you know, it was humiliating to get this stick with fake fingers on the coming out of it, and then you put it on your back and you scratch your itch. I just thought, this is unbelievable. So I went into my room and I was sulking.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I'm gonna ruin Christmas if I don't take care of my emotions here.
Wait, he didn't finish their thing about the magazine. He assumed it was his daughter, your daughter's magazine.
I bought the magazine.
Yeah.
It was yours.
He picked up your magazine and
re-gifted
it to you.
Yes.
I think there's some wives listening saying, you know what? My marriage isn't that bad. I'm going to thank my husband when he gets home tonight.
Yes.
It's scary. It was
scary. He won't announce where to get those back scratchers. But, you know, I think I realize I'm going to sulk all Christmas and ruin it for my family. Or I'm going to say, you know what? You need to take these back and try again. And I did that.
Did you really? I thought,
that worked for me. So I told him, I said, don't you remember what I asked you? And then he said, no. And I said, well, you go out again, try again, take two on Christmas for me. And it took care of my hurt feelings. And he obliged.
Yeah, I think it's a dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I call that chapter a dance. I think, you know, you step on each other's toes sometimes. And you don't learn to dance unless you get out on the dance floor. And so we have this waltz, you know, as it were, that's called marriage. And you're going to be close at times and distant at times. Mm-hmm. And you're going to spin sometimes and you're going to be moving slowly and fast. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of those examples of stepping on each other's toes, mm-hmm. that we've made those mistakes. But we're still going to do the dance together. Mm-hmm. And we're going to work it out and we're going to fight for that thing. And I think it's okay to realize that there are times in our marriage where we're just not dancing together, but we're going to stay on the dance floor together, mm-hmm. and we're going to come back and we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Mm. When we're talking about relationships in this way, it's sometimes helpful for people to understand that research shows that the most successful marriages are those that breathe. It's not hot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not close all the time. Mm-hmm. It is not romantic all the time, mm-hmm. but it breathes. And you move out from each other, and then you come back together. Mm-hmm. And the most successful sexual relationships, mm-hmm. are those that breathe, mm-hmm. that go out away from each other for a while and then come back together. Mm-hmm. You can't stay on a mountaintop all the time.
That's right.
And you don't have to.
Yeah.
And when you realize that you're out there a ways, bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Do something to bring it back. Have a date. Do things together. Bring home flowers. Do something that brings you back together. Mm-hmm. And then allow it to breathe out again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that means anything to others, but it does in my practical experience, mm-hmm. not only with Shirley, but in counseling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I like about the book, Steve, and Liz, is it's doable. You know, I think as a guy, sometimes I see a book and I get the message and I go, that's great. It is. But you're asking me to change everything. You're asking mm-hmm. me to change every aspect yes. of my life. You're telling me when to go to bed and when to get up, and going from a small daily prayer life to an hour every single day. And mm-hmm. I can't make all of those changes at once. This mm-hmm. feels doable. Mm-hmm. It feels like you could pick this up and you go, you know what? I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can do this with my wife. This is something that we can do together. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I think a lot of men will appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
The book, again, is recommended for anyone, obviously, but especially those that have a young marriage. Would you mm-hmm. say?
I would say. So,
and are trying to establish some principles that work, coming right out of the Scripture.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Steve and Liz Holt, thank you for being our guest on these programs. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm really impressed by how the Lord has used you in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you started this church. You now have 3,000 members. And you preach three times every Sunday, there's obviously something going on there. And maybe there's some folks here in Colorado Springs that are looking for a church. You'd be happy to have them, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. We have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's a great church. It's an easy church to lead, easy group to pastor. And we love Colorado Springs. Colorado's been great to us. We feel blessed by living here.
If you want to strengthen your marriage, this is a good place to go to get a head start on it.
Thank you.
We'll
Thank
do
you.
It Enjoy again. It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would echo that invitation for all of you in the Southern Colorado area to join us over at Mountain Springs Church. Mm. In the meantime, you can find out how to get a copy of Pastor Steve's book. Again, it's called The God Wild Marriage, A Roadmap to a Dangerously Fulfilling Love Life by visiting us at drjamesdobson.org or give us a call, 877-732-6825.
And while you're on our website, check out a link to Pastor Steve's blog. It's his website, ministry page, sermons, all kinds of stuff you can find out about him. And there is so much more there that's both thought-provoking and encouraging.
At his website as well as ours, Ryan, at drjamesdobson.org, we have a lot more biblical and uplifting resources to help you and your family. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org, where you also can donate to this ministry as we are completely listener-supported.
And just a quick reminder to our listeners, this month, every donation, no matter what size, will be matched dollar per dollar, and it's really an incredible time to give.
Again, online at drjamesdobson.org or 877-732-6825.
Thanks again for joining us, and do return next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I think your mom's here tomorrow, Ryan.
Ooh, that's nice.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.